So I'm going to invite my pastor up. My pastor's here from Omaha. Kelly says, every time you say Omaha, you say Omaha, Nebraska. So it's Omaha, Nebraska. That's where you're from. You're from Omaha, Nebraska. Is there another Omaha somewhere else?
I'm sure there probably is.
I don't know, but listen, I'm gonna just highlight this. You're looking fit.
What's that?
You've been doing some Hell 30? Whole 30?
Get out of here, man.
Man, no, you look fit. You look good.
Let's stay with the Jamie and Kelly show.
No, okay? No. Come on up here. You're looking good.
I think these people ought to go on the road. I really enjoyed
morning.
Come on, everybody.
No.
They ought to go on the road with me.
So we had the incredible pleasure. You know, it's been almost 16 years since you hired us. 16 years.
And 15 and a half since I fired you.
We parted mutually, all right? I'm not the manager of the Cardinals.
Years.
I mean,
16,
geez.
Oh, 16 oh.
years. 16
years. 16 years.
Yeah.
So Kelly was 14. Hey.
To which I would say, you hired a 14-year-old to be your youth pastor?
Anyway. And a 16-year-old.
Yeah. All right. So I appreciate this guy. Number one, I feel like he's a father of the house. And so he feels at home when he comes here. And he speaks truth and into this house and to us as a couple and as a family. And he's so much more than just my pastor, someone who's mentored me. Took me under his wings, said some hard things too, and I think that's what's important. What's important is I know you're for me. You have the best for me, and I appreciate that. And because of that, I receive hard things, like whenever I sit back down and he says, "Did you really just tell your wife to shut up?" And I say,
"I'll talk to him afterwards. We'll talk."
Welcome, my pastor, Pastor Dobie Weasel.
I'll talk to you. Love you guys. Love you guys. Well, good morning, everybody. Great to be here this morning. Man, this is the first time I get to speak in the new church. This is awesome. You guys did a fantastic job. Give yourselves a hand. This is incredible. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, well, as Pastor Jamie said, my name is Dobie Weasel. Somebody say Dobie Weasel. Weasel, I'm the only weasel, well, maybe not. You'll meet some other weasels later on, but they're all my family members. My wife and I, we are trying to populate the world with weasels is what we're trying to do. So this morning as we come together, I have the privilege of sharing the Word of God with you. But just by way of introduction, and I probably should have had a picture of my family on the screen. But my wife and I, Jamie, have been married now for this coming year will be 40 years. And go ahead. That's all right. We have 3 children, 9 grandchildren. How many grandparents do we have in the house this morning? How many of you know those grandchildren better than those children? Come on. Amen. And now if you have children, Jamie, Kelly, and every now and then you feel like taking them out, don't do it because better ones are coming. Hallelujah. Amen. So I just want to say it's good to be here. Pastor Jamie shared with me before I came that we're in the book of Acts, and so we've been reading through the book of Acts as a church, and this week is Acts chapter 12 and Acts chapter 13, and so we're going to get there in just a moment. But before we do, I was making my way this morning just talking to some of you and introducing myself, and I realized how many of you I do not know. And you don't know who I am, just by way of introduction, my wife and I planted a church about 10, 11 years ago with my son, my daughter-in-law, and we turned that church over to them about 4 years ago, and we began to travel mostly among Native people. Now, I'm Native American, hence the name Weasel. All right, that was the U.S. government agent's transliteration of Intugasa Heyuke. When my great grandfather Horned Weasel Intugasa Heyuke came to the government agent, and the government agent through an interpreter said, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Horned Weasel. My name is Intugasa Heyuke," and Intugasa Heyuke literally means a small, fierce, fighting animal. And so that was supposed to be my name, Small Fierce Fighting Animal. And so the government agent thought to himself and said, weasel. Couldn't it have been badger? Or something more fierce than weasel? But I could this morning say aho, washte, dekenyu, michaje, dobi weasel, mita gweyube, Fort Belknap, Montana, wasa hutana. And that would be, it's good to meet you this morning. I hope you're having a great day. My name is Dobie Weasel. I'm from Fort Belknap, Montana, and I hope you have a great day for the rest of your day. But this morning, I want to give you just a little introduction to what we do with Life Tribe. There are 7.5 million Native people spread throughout North America. Less than 3% of them are born again. So there's this huge mission field in our backyard that few people are really doing anything about. Now, a guy by the name of Aaron Huey went to the Pine Ridge Reservation about 10 years ago just to visit for a couple of weeks. He wound up staying there for 5 years. And as he was there for 5 years, he took some pictures that I want to share with you. And so this is the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. These are some actual pictures. They're not all that old, but it'll show you the need. I mean, there's a beauty in Native culture. You see the costumes. You see the dance. But then there's this other side of Native culture that you're going to see here in just a moment, because Native people have the highest suicide rate of anybody in the nation. They're not only do they struggle with suicide, but I've got a couple of stats that I want to share with you. The unemployment rate on Native reservations on the Pine Ridge is 61%. They have the highest dropout rate of any group in the United States. Inhalants, gas, glue, those things are getting a resurgent. What do you mean inhalants? They're huffing gas. The teenagers are huffing glue. The average age of the first-time user of inhalants is 11 years old. And so as we look at this, it lends itself to suicide. And suicide on the Indian reservations is 10 times the national average. As you can see, there's a man passed out by a house, a boy sitting on a horse, and this was my life growing up. And I know we take a look at these pictures and we go, man, this can't be in the United States of America. This is some third world country. These are pictures from some heathenistic Bangkok somewhere. No, these are pictures from the Pine Ridge Reservation, just up the road from Omaha, Nebraska. And these are the people I'm trying to reach. Like I said, there are 7.5 million Native people, less than 3% are born again, and we're trying to do our best to reach these people. And not only is alcohol and drugs and all those, but gang violence has found its way to the Native reservations as well. So I just want to say we're trying to reach Native people through all kinds of ways, but there are two ways in which we're trying to reach them, especially today. One is to develop some apps that we can reach out to the Native youth, and the other one is that we are also raising up a prayer army. So I want to encourage you to pray for us, stand with us. We're developing a couple of apps that we want to give to Native youth so that we can make contact with them and disciple them over their phones. And then one of the real cool things is I was contacted recently by the National Day of Prayer, and they asked me to be the Native coordinator for the Day of Prayer. And so we're going to go to the National Day of Prayer in Washington, D.C. this next year, present the Native need, and hopefully get the U.S. government involved in a greater way than they have been in the past. So this is what we do, and I want to say, yeah, go ahead. I want to say to your pastors, this church supports us to a great extent. And in fact, this church, along with my home church, support us more than anybody else and have supported us for years. And I just want to say from me to you and from me to these people over here, thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate everything you've done for us. And we believe that God's got some good things in store, and we're going to turn this thing around. Amen? Amen. So, If you want to help us out, talk to Pastor Jamie, and we've got some projects that we're looking at doing. And so I just want to encourage you, if you'd like to get involved with what we're doing, please do so. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn there, we're going to take a look at just a couple of scriptures this morning. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Acts chapter 12, verse 24, and Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Pastor Jamie said we're in this series in the book of Acts, and so we've been talking about a movement, and how many of you know the church is a movement? Come on, somebody, say amen. Say amen. Everybody say amen. Everybody say, here I am. You got to talk to me this morning, all right? All my friends talk to me. If you don't talk to me, means either one or two things. Number one, you're asleep, or number two, you're mad at me. And so in either case, we're in trouble. And all my friends talk to me. If I'm doing good, my church back home, they'll say, come on. They'll say, preach it. Bring it down. If I'm not doing so good, they just say, help him, Jesus. And so so this morning, I want you to talk to me. We're continuing our series in the book of Acts. Now, why is the book of Acts named the book of Acts? Can anybody tell me? Action. It is the Acts. Some people call it the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of Peter, James, John, Paul, and those guys. But really, it's not just the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. It's the acts of the Spirit of God through ordinary men who, by the power of God, did extraordinary things. And so this morning, I propose to you that the book of Acts isn't done being written. Because the Holy Spirit, who was moving through the apostles and through the disciples back in those days, is still the Holy Spirit that's moving today. Right? And he's just needing somebody to move through. And so I believe he's still moving, that the book of Acts is still being written because God is still doing things through his people. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. And so this morning as we look at the book of Acts, Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You should be my witnesses in where? Jerusalem. Some say Jerusalem. Judea. Samaria. And unto the uttermost parts. And so we see as we look at the book of Acts that they begin in Jerusalem. And that was Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses. That's Acts 1:8. And so they stayed in Jerusalem. As you read the book of Acts, they stayed in Jerusalem from Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 8. Then persecution broke out and they were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So they went from Jerusalem, they went to Judea, they went to Samaria. Now in Acts chapter 12 and in Acts chapter 13, they're going to begin to go into all the world. And so as we look at the scripture this morning, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made. Some say prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Come on, say it with me. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Let's take a look at another scripture. The Bible says in Acts chapter 12, verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Turn to your neighbor and look at him and tell him the word of God is growing and multiplying. And then finally, Acts chapter 13, as they ministered and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, some say the Holy Ghost said, how many of you know God is still speaking? The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul for the work whereunto I've called them. Three things I see in this scripture, three characteristics of the people of God. Number one, they were people of prayer. Some say prayer. Number two, they were people of the word. Some say the word. Number three, they were people of the Spirit. Say it with me, the Word, prayer, and the Spirit. Say it again, prayer, the Word, and the Spirit. Say it again, the Spirit, prayer, and the Word. See, we're part of a movement. Some say we're part of a movement. Turn to your neighbor and tell them we're part of a movement. Turn to your other neighbor and tell them, so get moving. Come on, church. I said, we're part of a movement. We ought to be moving. We ought to be as children of God, as people of God, we ought to be led by the Spirit. It was years ago, I was in San Francisco, California. How many have ever been to San Francisco? Okay. How many of you glad you're not in San Francisco? Okay, we went to San Francisco years ago. My children were small. My oldest was about 5 years old. And we were doing ministry. We're supposed to be in a place called Bakersfield. Now, we're coming from Montana, going to Bakersfield. So we decided we're going to go to San Francisco. Hadn't been to San Francisco. Hadn't seen the Golden Gate Bridge. And so we thought that'll be a cool place to visit. Now, my brother-in-law at the time is collecting Hard Rock Cafe t-shirts. And so he says to me, "Dobie, I know you're going to San Francisco. Would you stop at the Hard Rock Cafe in San Francisco, get me a t-shirt?" I said, "Yeah, sure." So I distinctly remember going to San Francisco, finding the Hard Rock Cafe, taking my then Aerostar van with my three children, pulling up outside of the Hard Rock Cafe just a bit down the street and looking in the back and saying to my oldest son, John, "John, make sure all the doors are locked and the windows are locked because this is San Francisco." I said to my wife, "Jamie, make sure everything's locked up." We went in, had a burger, bought a t-shirt, came out, got to the van. My window was open. Thought, how in the world did I leave my window open? Well, I didn't leave my window open. Somebody, while we were having a burger, busted out my window, crawled over my seat, over the console, over our camera, over some other things that were on the console, reached under my wife's seat and stole her purse. When it dawned on me what happened, because I realized somebody had to be watching us, somebody had to be waiting for us to go in, somebody purposely busted out our window, reached and grabbed her purse, and absconded with it. When it dawned on me that it happened, the spirit of Crazy Horse hit me. I'm not kidding, man. I mean, I went berserk. I kind of started acting like Jamie Bridges. Sorry, bro. Kelly, you can thank me later. But I started walking up and down the streets of San Francisco, man, like a crazy man. I was walking up and down the streets of San Francisco just looking for somebody who looks like he might be able to steal a purse. And I was staring people down. My wife, she looked at me. She said, "Dobie, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to get your purse back, baby." She said, no, get in the car. Let's go. I said, "No, I'm getting your purse back." I'm walking up and down. I went into the alley. She said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going. Somebody probably put it in a garbage can, honey. I'm going to find it." She said, "Get over here." No, get over. No, get over. Okay. She talked me off the ledge. So I got in the car. I'm cruising down the road. Realize I can't go to Bakersfield with my window busted out. So we get a hotel room, and we get settled in. And I find something called a phone book. Anybody remember those? And in this phone book, there is something called the Yellow Pages. Hello. And I'm looking through window repair places, automobile window repair places. And as I do, my five-year-old son comes up. And he pulls on my shirt. And I look and I say, John, I'm busy, son. I need to find some place to fix our window." And he said, "But Dad," I said, son, "I'm sorry. You got to go play with your Game Boy, honey. Help me out here, right?" And so I tried to push, and he pulled me, and I said, "What? What's so important?" He looked at me. He said, "Dad," I said, "What?" He said, "Why don't we just pray and ask Jesus to return Mom's purse?" And I wanted to say, "I'm the preacher. I'll tell you when we pray." And I actually wanted to say, "Honey, you don't understand. This is..." And there are like 8 million people in San Francisco. And the chances of us getting Mom's purse back are probably zero to none. But I didn't want to crush his faith. And so I said, "Okay, son, we'll pray." And so I said to my wife, "Jamie, come on over here." And she said, "What?" I said, "Come on over here. We're going to pray." She said, "Pray?" I said, yeah, come on over. We're going to pray." She said, "For what?" I said, "That Jesus will return your purse." And she said, "Okay." We came, held hands. I wish I could tell you that I prayed a prayer of faith and the power of God came and the Spirit of God moved, but I can't because I didn't have any faith. And so instead of lifting up my voice, I turned to my five-year-old son and I said, "Son, pray." Come on, somebody. How many of you know Jesus didn't want to listen to me anyway? Because the Bible says if we're going to pray, let us pray in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So Jesus didn't want to hear me. I knew he didn't want to hear me. I had no faith. So I said, "Son, pray." He prayed this prayer, "I want to tell you." And he said, "Jesus, please give mom's purse back. In your name, amen." Didn't do anything for me, but helped him out. I found the place, went and got the window fixed, came back, walked in the room. My wife says to me, "You're not going to believe what just happened." I said, "Try me. I'm a man of faith." She said, "I just got a call from my mom, who got a call from Kathy Ott, who got a call from some lady who found my purse in a Walmart shopping cart not far from where we were." I looked at her and I said, "I knew it was a Walmart person." Just kidding. If you're one of those Walmart people, love you. Hallelujah. And so what had happened was this lady went to Walmart, saw this purse sitting in a cart, went over, looked, and there was stuff all over the place, so she knew something happened. As she looked at, there was a calendar in there. She opened it up. The day that she found it was marked, and it had Kathy Ott on it with a phone number. She called that number. Kathy said, "I know whose purse that is." She called my mother-in-law just about the time that my wife called my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law said, "Your purse has already been found." I'm here to tell you, when that little boy prayed, chances are the purse had already been found. Jesus had answered that little boy's prayer long before it was even ushered. Why? Because our God is a miracle-working God. And although I didn't have the faith to believe, the Bible says if you have the faith of a child, you'll speak to that mountain and it'll be removed and cast into the sea. I'm here to tell you, we serve a supernatural, miracle-working, prayer-answering, faith-honoring God. Oh! And because our God is a God of miracles, He wants to use you to perform some of those miracles. Oh, come on, somebody. And so I look at the early church, and the early church was a church on the move. The early church was a church who was a prayerful church, a church of the Word, and a church of the Spirit. We're not going to get to all those today. I don't even know how I'm going to finish this thing. I've only got like 2 minutes left. I'm just kidding. But they were a church of prayer. If you take a look, see, here's what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, "He that says he abides in Jesus," how many of you know Jesus? Come on, of you. How many of you want to know Jesus better? Look at me. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says this: "He that says he abides in him ought himself so to walk as he walked." What does that mean? That means Jesus wants you to be like him. Not just nice like him, not just kind like him, not just loving like him, but God also has a place for you to walk in the supernatural like him. That's the church. Not just for Pastor Jamie, not just for Pastor Kelly. God wants his people to get to a level where they realize God can use us like God used Jesus. Come on. Amen. And so I look at these people in the early church, and I think one of the reasons God used them so powerfully is because they were people of prayer. They were always praying. Did you notice that? Why? Because they saw Jesus was always praying. The disciples came to Jesus one day, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples." Now, here's my question. Why did the disciples ask Jesus, "Teach him to pray"? What's your name, son?
Liam.
Liam. Good looking Liam. Handsome Liam. Takes after his mama. Hallelujah. Liam, why is it that the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray? Now, I'm not asking you to answer this. I'm going to give you the answer. Because for me, I'm looking at everything that Jesus did, which was all kinds of cool things. And one day he showed up, taught all day. Love it. Come on, taught all day. Didn't have a clock in the back. What's that? He taught to where people got tired, people got hungry. I'm just being like Jesus if I go overtime today. Just kidding. But they came and they said, Lord, send these people away. They need something to eat. What Jesus said, you give them something to eat. They didn't have anything. So they brought him a couple of loaves, a couple of fish. You know the story, right? He blessed them. He broke them. He gave them to the disciples. The disciples handed them out. And what happened? A miracle, man. 4,000 people were fed. Another time, 5,000 men were fed besides women and children. And if I'm the disciples, man, I want to come to Jesus. Teach me how to do that. Come on. Teach me how to take a loaf of bread and turn it into a truckload. Teach me how to go down to McDonald's, get a Happy Meal, and turn it into 1,000. Hallelujah. I'd like to be able to do that. No. Or Liam, how about this? One day they're out on a boat. And man, they feel like they're going to sink. All of a sudden, somebody looks over and it looks like a ghost. And man, hey, God, it's a ghost. And what happened? No, it's Jesus. And Peter says, Jesus, that's you. And Peter says, it's me. If that's you, let me come out. And he goes out on. Dude. Jesus, teach me how to walk on water. I'd love to learn how to walk on water. Right? Man, multiply loaves and fish, walk on water. But they don't come and ask him for any of that cool stuff. They just come and say, Lord, teach me to pray. Do you read your Bibles? I mean, I'm looking at that and I'm going, why? Why? Here's the deal. Let me give you the answer. The reason they said, Lord, teach us to pray is because they knew that if they could pray like Jesus prayed, they could do what Jesus did. Because everything that Jesus did came out of a place of prayer. He walked on water out of a place of prayer. He healed the sick out of a place of prayer. He cast out devils out of a place of prayer. He multiplied loaves and fishes out of a place of prayer. Everything that Jesus did, he did out of a place of prayer. And if they could learn how to pray like Jesus prayed, they could learn how to do what Jesus did. And I'm here to say, people, if we just learn how to pray like Jesus prayed, we can do what Jesus did. Woo. So number one, pray. Somebody say pray. Pray, pray. You didn't know what you were in for this morning, did you? See, I'm going to church, and if they would have told you some crazy Indian dude was going to be yelling at you all morning, you probably would have stayed home. So number one, they prayed. Somebody say they prayed. Number two, they were people of the word. I don't have time to get into that. Maybe second service. Some of you might need to watch this online, but let's move to the third thing. They were people of prayer. They were people of the word. They were people of the Spirit. Some say of the Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus in Acts chapter 4, look at this. I mean, Luke chapter 4. The Bible says he was baptized, came up out of the water. Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit. As he was led by the Spirit, the Bible says he was filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit, he later came out of the wilderness with the power of the Spirit and then went to the synagogue, stood up, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. Read it for yourself. Luke chapter 4. He's led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit and anointed by the Spirit. And because they saw that Jesus did whatever Jesus did, not just through prayer, but he did it through the Spirit, when he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You've heard the promise that I've given you from, of my Father, and he, not many days hence, will send you the Holy Spirit. We read that earlier. You've studied this book. And so they waited. From the time Jesus gave that command to the time the Spirit came was 7 days. 7 days they prayed. 7 days they fasted. 7 days they looked to God. And then finally, the Spirit of God came. And when the Spirit of God came, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And then they began to go, led by the Spirit. You see, they were a people who knew the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, what's your name? What? Come on up here, Nathan. Come on, bro. I'd pick on Jamie, but you look better. See, Nathan, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send you another comforter that you will not be alone. I know sometimes, Nathan, we feel like people are watching us.
A little bit.
Yeah. We feel like we're a gazing stock. We feel like we're all alone. Let's just watch him for a while. I'm just kidding. But we're not alone. I picked the right guy. We're not alone because Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. The word comforter is the word paraclete. Comes from two Greek words, the word para, which means alongside of, and the word kaleo, which means to call. So the Holy Spirit, the comforter, is the one who is called alongside you. And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the ends of the earth. So he's with you, bro.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. When you come to church, he's with you. Come on. Oh, yeah. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Come on, give me. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Listen, sir, the Holy Spirit is with you. I know you don't think he is, and sometimes, you know why? Because we don't see him. We don't hear him speak to us like we speak to one another. And here's the problem with some of us. Be led by me. Be led by the Spirit. Here's the problem with some of us. We can't relate to the Holy Spirit because his name is the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. Father, I can relate to because I have a father. The Son, I can relate to because I have a son. But the Holy Ghost? I think it's Robert Morris said, maybe we should just give him a different name. Father, Son, and Bill. I can relate to Bill. If I'm a Lutheran, we'll call him William. Because we're proper. Right? If I'm Pentecostal, I'll call him Billy. Come on. Come on, so you know what I'm talking about? But the Holy Ghost, see the Holy Ghost, you thought you came in here by yourself. You didn't come in here by yourself. You came in here with somebody else, and it's the Holy Spirit who said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, Lord. I'm with you always, even till the ends of the earth. Whew. And he's going to go with you, and he's going to lead you and guide you. And here's what he's going to say. He's going to speak to you. See, the Bible says, you shall hear a still small voice saying, this is the way wherein you walk. Walk in it. Right? That's small. What the scripture says. Not that small. Oh, how do you put up with this guy, man? And so he'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll walk with you. He'll be with you. He'll speak to you. You see, we don't read it like that. But they understood it because Jesus walked with them. They heard Jesus' voice, and Jesus said, I'm going to send one just like me, and he's never... It's better for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, he can't come. But if he comes, he can be with you, and 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 he can be with all at the same time. Because listen, I'm limited in my physical body to time and space, and I can only be with so many of you at the same time. But when the Holy Ghost comes, he can be with you all at the same time. Everywhere you go. Whew. Oh, help. Give this guy a hand. Give this guy a hand. Listen. 260 chapters in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 290 times. Let me say that again. 260 chapters in the New Testament. The Spirit is mentioned 290 times. You can read the book of Galatians in 16 minutes. Paul mentions the Spirit 16 times. You could read Colossians in 4 minutes. The Spirit is mentioned in Colossians 4 times. You could read Philippians in 4 minutes. The Spirit of God is mentioned 4 times in the book of Philippians. So what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Every minute as they were talking, the Holy Spirit was being talked about. You see, they talked about the Holy Spirit all the time. The Holy Spirit wasn't something that was way off there, something that was off in the cosmos. No, the Holy Spirit was their friend. The Holy Spirit was with them. The Holy Spirit was Bill. Hallelujah. And Bill was walking with them wherever they went. Heard the story and I'm done. They're coming. It's the Oscars. The music's going to play. One story and I'm done. Young man by the name of Scott, true story. Young man by the name of Scott went to a Bible study on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, they talked about the story of Samuel hearing the voice of God. He left that Bible study that day with all the other guys, got in his car, and here's what he said, true story. He said, God, if you're speaking today like you spoke to Samuel, I'd sure like for you to speak to me like that. Got in his car, turned on the car, started driving home. As he's driving home, he's parked at a red light. He looks over and he sees a convenience store, and in his heart, he hears, go buy a gallon of milk. He says, I can use a gallon of milk anyway. So I'm going to go buy that gallon of milk. And if this is God I'm hearing, then great. Maybe God knows I need a gallon of milk. I don't know. Goes and he buys the gallon of milk. He's on his way home. He hears that voice that I talked to, that still small voice. Turn here. He turns there. Goes down about 3 or 4 blocks. He hears the Spirit of God say, turn here. Turn right. He turns right. He's driving down. He's thinking he's crazy. I'm in a neighborhood. I don't even know where I'm at. I think I'm hearing voices, and I bought a gallon of milk. Hello. He hears a voice say, pull over. He pulls over, and he's sitting there like an idiot. He feels like an idiot. And all of a sudden, he feels an impression. Go to that house. True story. Go to that house, knock on the door. He goes and he knocks on the door. Man answers the door, speaks in some language he doesn't know, slams the door, disappears down the hallway. He's thinking, my gosh, I'm an idiot. A couple of moments later, he sees a silhouetted figure come into the hallway, and she's walking down the hallway. She opens the door, and she has a baby. She looks at him and she says, are you an angel? He says, no, not an angel. My name's Scott. He said, we just prayed because my baby has no milk, that God would send an angel with milk. You sure you're not an angel? He said, no, I'm just a regular guy who heard the Spirit of God tell me that somebody at this house needed a gallon. Wow. My gosh, that's the God we serve. And God wants to do the supernatural. But what a pity that we settle for the ordinary. We're a church who's part of a movement. It's time for us to get up and say, God, move again. Move in our hearts. Move in our homes. Move in our churches. Move in our communities. and show yourself strong, because you're not a God who's dead. You're a God who's still a miracle-working God. God, do it again and use me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stand with me today. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands toward heaven. If you want to lift them like this, lift them like this. If you want to lift them like this, lift them like this. If you want to lift them like this, lift them like this. You say, I'm Lutheran, man. We don't lift our church. We don't lift our hands in church. You're not Lutheran anymore. You're a Christian right now. So just lift up your hands a little bit. Hallelujah. Come on, sir. Lift up your hands, ma'am. Lift up your hands. I'm just going to pray God fill you with the Holy Ghost. God fill you with the anointing of God. I'm not going to ask God to make you weird. Hello? How many of you know, people of God, God doesn't make us weird. God makes us sensitive, and he fills us with his power. Father, I thank you for this church. Thank you for my son, Jamie, and my daughter, Kelly. God, thank you for their leadership. Thank you for what has happened in this community because of this couple. Thank you, Lord, for the lives that are changed in this room because of this couple. Because they were sensitive to the Holy Spirit who said, move to Columbia, Illinois, when they were over in St. Louis. And it's like, what? But they came. And God, because they heard your voice, they came here, and now lives have been changed. And Lord, they're just a beginning. They're just a prototype. They're not anybody special in the sense that you want to use them differently than you want to use all of us. No, you want to use us all like you've used them. So, Father God, we pray for each and every one. As our hands are lifted up, just like a cup, Lord, we pray, fill our cup. Fill us with your Spirit. Come on, pray this with me out loud. Jesus, fill me with your power and use me in a supernatural way with somebody, somehow, somewhere this week. Help me to hear your voice and to be led by your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. I've already taken more time than I needed to. Hallelujah. God's gonna use you this week. God's gonna use you this week. Hallelujah. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Turn to somebody, tell them, get ready. God's gonna use you. Hallelujah. Woo, come on.